Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The 10 million number made sense. If you're going to sign a quarterback who has done what Aaron Rodgers has done and was on the open market, but it was different because it's not like he was like, all right, I'm going to the highest bidder. Like, he's very selective. Not that many teams, from what I got the sense, were in the mix, because he's not going to go to a team that doesn't have a chance. So the way you do a deal for a guy like Aaron Rodgers is you're kind of like, what would it take for you to play? Like, that's basically how the Steelers would do it. And like, there's a really good history of really good veteran, accomplished, decorated quarterbacks in the final, let's say, 1 or maybe 2 years of their career taking less. Brady took less, Peyton took less, Elway took less. You do it so the team can build around you. The Steelers aren't done building. This is sort of why you do it. You take a low salary and you say, I'm not doing this for the money, and you kind of just hope the team loads up around you.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Thunderstorm watch in effect until 7. That could mess with the Buccos and Marlins. That is Fan Weather, brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Malzi is off playing golf. Hopefully he played in this big highfalutin tournament and won some money. And this is the year of Mueller, so hopefully it continued today out on the course. Donnie filled in for Starkey on Pop and Joe today. That's why you don't hear him. And if you've called in or you've been listening today, you've heard some of the insane takes of one intern Dom. Although his take that Oakmont Bakery is more famous locally than Oakmont, the golf course or country club, is picking up steam on social media. So people aren't calling him a crazy person for that. That is Ian Rappaport talking about Aaron Rodgers on a bargain and signing a very team-friendly deal for only $13 million and incentives that will still keep him below $20 million. I'm heard the Steelers love that number because now, regardless of what happens, no matter what, Aaron Rodgers is going to make less money than Justin Fields this year. So I think that makes them feel even better about this signing, even though Adam Schefter reported today, and we heard this earlier in the hour, that the Steelers preferred Fields to Rodgers, and Rodgers was their third choice. He was option C. He was plan C for this team behind Matthew Stafford, which makes all the sense in the world, and Justin Fields. Here is the reason why I feel like this, giving Aaron Rodgers credit now for paying for less money, really doesn't ultimately make that much sense. It would have if Aaron did this in March. Because if he does it in March, you now have him under contract at a very low number, and you still have a lot of the offseason in front of you to go out and sign players and take the savings from Aaron Rodgers and go get like a Javon Hargrave or another wide receiver. And you do that and you justify bringing Rodgers in, and it makes you even more appreciative of what Rodgers did, because you think, well, we would not have been able to get this guy or that guy or both guys if not for Aaron Rodgers making a sacrifice. Aaron Rodgers is making a sacrifice on June 9th. Him only playing for $13 million a year, who's left out there that it now allows for the Steelers to go get this guy, whereas before, if Aaron Rodgers had taken $30 million or $35 million, which was originally reported, their hands would have been tied, and they wouldn't have been able to bring in that player. Are they going to trade for Terry McLaurin? I mean, that to me is the most ridiculous thing, and this is coming from someone who's been accused of saying ridiculous things, usually unfairly. But the Commanders are going to trade their number one wide receiver for Jaden Daniels when their franchise quarterback is making peanuts. They're going to trade the guy that has the best relationship with their quarterback to the Steelers because they want to make their team worse before they go out and try to compete with the Eagles again and attempt to win a Super Bowl. They're much closer to winning a Super Bowl than the Steelers are. So I don't know who started that rumor. Whoever did needs their head examined, needs to be karate kicked in the face to maybe knock some sense into them. That is completely moronic if the Cubs are thinking that, then they're truly one of the worst run teams in the NFL, and they appear to be much better run now that the owner left and is off doing other things. So, yeah, it's great that Aaron Rodgers didn't quote-unquote break the bank and put the Steelers over a barrel and take advantage of their desperation at quarterback, but tangibly, how does this help them win games this year when he takes a discount this late into the offseason? I don't think Amari Cooper or Keenan Allen or one of these guys is going to come with such a steep price tag that if Aaron Rodgers had signed for, let's say, $25 million, it would have prohibited them or kept them from bringing in one of those two. So I'm happy that he was a man of his word. Like, that's great. Like, it really wasn't about the money with him. That is not all that common in professional sports. But it doesn't make the Steelers a better football team this year. If he did it on March 10th, it would have. Potentially. 412-928-9370. But as I've said all day, I feel great about this move. I have a new, very optimistic outlook on it. I'm thinking positively. And I believe that Aaron Rodgers is going to be so bad that the Steelers have their worst record under Mike Tomlin, and it gives them their best draft position since 2004 and gets them in position to do what they did in 2004, which is truly find their next long-term answer at quarterback. Sucking got them Ben Roethlisberger, and I think sucking with Aaron Rodgers might get them another guy like that. 412-928-9370 to join the program. At 5:15, Ed Bouchette is going to join us. We have not heard from Ed since this move. He's in the Hall of Fame for his Steelers opinions and Steelers reporting. And so he is going to come out of his hibernation to give thoughts on this. Ed lost his Twitter account a year ago. And so he doesn't even opine on social media anymore. So many of you love Ed, and you'll get a chance to get his take on the Aaron Rodgers signing in about an hour and change. 412-928-9370. Let's talk to Mark in Wexford. Hello, Mark.
Tony, how are you?
Hey, man.
Hey, quick question.
Sure.
It's reported by Schefter, a guy who's a national reporter who has a less than stellar reputation with Aaron Rodgers, to the point where Rodgers told him to, quote, lose my number.
Yeah.
That the Steelers were, or that Rodgers was, in fact, the third choice, and that Tomlin wanted to go with Fields as opposed to Rodgers.
Yes.
Correct?
Yep.
Okay. My question is this. If that is the case, and Tomlin didn't want to go with Rodgers and wanted to go with Fields,
yep,
why on earth did Justin Fields sit on the bench for 13 games at the end of last year?
Because
when a washed up quarterback who was clearly getting worse week by week, and Russell Wilson.
Yep.
And Justin Fields is sitting there.
Yep.
On the bench. That's the guy that he wants to go with. Makes zero sense. Also, the fact that no reporter in the Pittsburgh area cracked this so-called story that Aaron Rodgers is, in fact, the third choice. So tell me how any of that lines up to be true.
Well, so you don't think that they made an effort to sign Justin Fields whatsoever, because Steelers reporters
have. They very well may have made an effort.
Made that effort to sign him before they went to Aaron Rodgers.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that he was a choice ahead of Rodgers necessarily. Aaron Rodgers could have told them, you know, I don't know what my thought process is. And he very well may have said that. And to the point where, well, okay, well, now we've got to make an offer to Justin Fields, because if we don't, then we're really up a creek with nobody.
I mean,
I can't believe for one second that Mike Tomlin says Justin Fields is my number one guy that I want to sign, when meanwhile he already had the guy and sat there and let him sit on the bench and rot for 13 games.
Yep.
When Russell Wilson was getting worse week by week by week, to the point where Russell Wilson wasn't fully healthy at all and decided to play him over Justin Fields to begin with.
Well, when he first played that guy that wasn't fully healthy over Justin Fields, he came off the bench with rust and beat Aaron Rodgers 37-15.
Your point being what? That the Jets are a juggernaut?
No. Are they? I mean, so Aaron Rodgers, even though he hired his handpicked offensive coordinator, got the wide receiver that he wanted traded for, did all of those things. He had no culpability in what happened there last year, or very little?
I think he has some culpability, but I'm not going to sit there and think that the Jets aren't a franchise.
I mean, extrapolate
the history of winning that we brought Aaron Rodgers.
No, you're right.
He's going to turn
no, you're
around.
Right. No, good point. But how do you explain Aaron Rodgers having a losing season in Green Bay his last season there?
I can't explain that.
Okay.
But, I mean, listen, the bottom line is this.
Well, hold on a second. Before you get to your bottom line, in the history of football dating back to the 1920s, how many quarterbacks in the history of the league have had a winning record as a quarterback at 41 years or older? Do you know?
How many have there been?
Right, because most guys are done by then. There have been five who have played a full season at 41.
Most guys are done by then, but let's be
exactly.
honest. We're not talking about 1970s Ken Stabler.
No, we're talking about guys like Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and Drew Brees who couldn't even play to 41, and all of them are arguably just as good or maybe in some cases better than Aaron Rodgers all time.
You're right. They very well could be. Ben was out of shape by the time he got to that age.
Well, I don't think you need to take shots at Ben Roethlisberger, though, to build up. No, you are.
Well,
you are. I mean, you absolutely are. If you're going to say he was out of shape, I mean, what a horrible thing to say about a guy that won two Super Bowls here and never had a losing record. I don't know why we have to take gratuitous shots at him.
I'm not taking gratuitous
Yes, you are. I mean, I could just as easily say, Mark, I could just as easily, Mark, I could just as easily, Mark, okay, I could just as easily say, does Aaron Rodgers really care about football that much?
That's up for them to decide. That's up
oh,
for them
well,
to decide.
But hold on a second. Time out here. Time out here.
No,
hold on here. Hold on here.
If he was,
Mark.
If he's willing to sign.
Mark, if everything.
To go after them,
if, hold on a second. If everything is up for them to decide, then why do you and I and other people even debate these things? Well, they drafted this guy in the first round. I don't think he's that good. Well, it's up for them to decide. Why did they trade for this guy? I don't know. It's up for them to decide. You're right. You're right. Let's give Mike Tomlin the benefit of the doubt on everything, Mark. Do you think he's a great coach still?
No, I don't give Mike Tomlin the benefit of the
you
doubt.
Just
on anything.
You just
no,
did.
I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I did not.
You
how
said
did I give, how
you
did
said
I give him the benefit of the doubt.
You just said it's up to, you know, hey, they make the decision. It's up to them. You just said that. That's giving them the benefit of the doubt. That's exactly what that is. You just did that. I said, how do we know Aaron Rodgers is that focused on football? Your response, well, let's trust them on it. Let's trust them.
Listen.
Let's trust Mike Tomlin. You're right. My bad.
They're the ones who get paid to make the decision.
Who cares how much they get paid? Who cares? Mike Tomlin makes $20 million. You think that makes him a great coach because of how much
he
gets paid?
You get paid to make your opinion.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, well, I mean, your opinion could be right or wrong, but the bottom line is you get paid to do it, right?
I get paid to entertain people and talk about sports.
So what you're saying is anybody can come in there and do it because everybody has opinions. But listen, you get paid to do it, so that's the difference.
So that doesn't make my opinion more important or more valuable or better than yours. It absolutely doesn't.
Sure, it does. You're the guy who gets paid to do it.
So by that logic, by that logic, then when you always call, then you defer to me on things and not argue because I'm getting paid to give an opinion and you're not, and you're not doing that. You're fighting with me on this.
I think you are a wonderful, wonderful host.
Well, thank you, Mark. You don't need to kiss my ass after fighting with me for 5 minutes on the air. That's not going to get you anywhere, especially after. Look, I am, for the record, I have heard a lot of this. And I just brought Tomlin up because I think it's shocking to me how quickly now people have twisted themselves in knots to applaud the Aaron Rodgers move and think the Steelers are going to go places with Aaron Rodgers while at the same time having very little faith in Mike Tomlin. Well, which one is it? Every single person has reported, not just Adam Schefter, but everyone has said Mike Tomlin is the guy that brought Aaron Rodgers here. So now I'm supposed to start trusting Mike Tomlin on quarterback decisions. Or better said, now you're trusting Mike Tomlin on quarterback decisions. Because all I've heard from most people, not everyone, but most people for the last 5 years is that he's the last guy we should listen to on these things.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Worst place they could be in. He's good enough. They're good enough. They're going to go 9-8, 10-7. They won't matter in the playoffs, and we all know that. And then they're not bad enough to get a top 8 pick and finally find the quarterback of the future. And so anybody who says that Aaron can't play anymore, you're just being a hater because of some of the things you don't like about him as a person. But this still is a subpar offensive line. They only have really DK Metcalf on the perimeter. Freiermuth's a really nice tight end. They don't work the middle of the field with Arthur Smith right now. Maybe that'll change with Aaron, but Aaron didn't necessarily do it a ton last year. So you're in that area where, wait, great, we're going to be a contending team, but we are not better than Buffalo. We're not better than Kansas City. We're not better than Denver. We're not better than Chargers. We're not better than the Bengals. We're not better than the Ravens. So are we really going to matter? No. But we're not going to be bad enough. At the end of the day, if the Steelers said we're going with Mason Rudolph this year because we have to figure out this position for the future and next year's college class is going to be good, I would have sat back and said, like, not traditionally how you go do it, but I understand the reasoning why.
Quarterback guru Dan Orlovsky on ESPN today reacting to the Aaron Rodgers move, thinks it's a waste of time, thinks it'll keep the Steelers in NFL purgatory, thinks they're worse than teams like the Broncos and Chargers, thinks they would have been better off going with Mason Rudolph and tanking. And I disagree with him because I think they'll tank accidentally with Aaron Rodgers. Orlovsky said, if you don't think he's a good quarterback, it's because you don't like him personally. Wrong. I think Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback all time than Ben. And up until last year, I thought he could still play and thought he could still be a quarterback that could lead a team on a deep playoff run. Something about watching him go 5-12, get killed by the Steelers, get bludgeoned by good teams, look like an ancient man back there in the pocket. One win against a playoff team last year, that was Houston on a short week. 9 touchdowns, 8 picks against those good teams. He's done. And that's okay to say that a guy at 41 years old who will turn 42 late in the year can no longer do it anymore. Because 99.9999999% of the quarterbacks who have come before him suffered the same exact fate. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service. Let's get more of your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers, who will speak to Steelers media and practice with the Steelers for the first time tomorrow. Beginning with Joey in Baldwin. Hello, Joey.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Hey, man.
Tony. I want to talk about Rodgers, but first, I was thinking about when you said, did anybody under Brady ever work out just by being under him? Does Jimmy Garoppolo making 2 Super Bowls not count?
Oh, he made 1.
You're right. He made 1, and he made an NFC Championship.
Yeah.
And has 4 career playoff wins for them.
Yeah. Well, not with the
Patriots. Right. But if Will Howard learned under Rodgers and then left as a backup and went and made a Super Bowl, we'd be pretty upset about that, I think.
I mean, do you think Garoppolo went to a Super Bowl in San Francisco because of what he learned from Tom Brady?
I think it played a part. I mean, he threw 3,800 yards, so it wasn't just a great team around him. He still played well.
I know, but then the guy that went in after him, who was the last pick in the draft, who didn't get a chance to learn under Tom Brady, went and played better.
That's true. I don't think that it happens very often, and I don't think it's going to happen with Will Howard. I was thinking that's one example.
I gotcha.
With Rodgers and Fields, I think that I think that Fields is better for the team, and I know that neither one would win here, and that we need to have a losing season. But if you're picking between two guys of who to go after, aren't you going to go after the 26-year-old if neither one of them is going to win? At least you have a chance.
It's not about having a chance. In my opinion, it's about seeing what a player who still has potential can do. Because even if the chances of him being good are not very high, and I don't think they would be with Fields, if he surprises you, then he has a future with the team. Rodgers has no future. So if you take that as agreeing with you, then yes, that's what I'm doing right now.
Okay, I thought that you were saying that you would have rather had Rodgers than Fields and it's dumb that they went after.
No, I'd rather have Mason Rudolph and Will Howard play this year than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks, Joey. I found a silver lining in Rodgers playing because I think it's going to be bad enough where they go 7-10 and pick in the top 12 for the first time in 15 years. Actually, more than 15 years now, 20 years. God, is time flying. Here is Fake John and Robinson, who is best friends with Malzy, but only calls in when Malzy isn't here, which is ironic. Hello, Fake John.
How's it going?
It's good.
I'm glad it took an over the weekend epiphany, but we're finally fully aligned on this. I mean, like, who was it? Schefter said if this was plan C, I think it might have been plan D, because if Shedeur Sanders didn't, you know, verbally vomit on himself by all accounts at the meeting, they probably would have taken him. And then we'd have no chance of getting Donovan McNabb 2.0 next year with a, you know, top 10, top five pick. So, but the thing that I think can't be lost here is that we're also continuing to put faith in Tomlin and Rooney to actually make the correct decision when that time comes and, you know, develop Sellers, who I hope it is, obviously, or, you know, whoever it might be, to actually develop that guy properly.
Well, so, I'm hoping that guy is Tomlin proof. Now, the last guy I thought who was Tomlin proof, who had Joe Burrow qualities, in my opinion, was very clearly not that. But that has always been my hope, that they draft someone whose talent is so great, it would take like a trained chimpanzee or monkey on the sideline to screw it up. You know, like that's what I'm hoping for. And higher you pick in the draft, the better the chances are of getting somebody like that. Like, there are plenty of people in Pittsburgh who absolutely believe this, for example, that Zach Taylor isn't a very good coach. He's just been propped up by Joe Burrow. And that's what I'm hoping a quarterback that they take, if they stink, which I think they will, after this year, that he does the same thing with Tomlin and his coaching staff for 2026 and beyond.
Well, I do think, you know, to your point that you made earlier, less injury, Rodgers is not coming out. And I think that increases the chances of a 4-5-1 season. I know that's unlikely, just the way they end up scrounging out 13-10 wins and things like that. But, you know, I think it does increase the chances versus the alternative or any of the three or four other guys that they wanted to bring in, you know, over Rodgers. But, you know, to my initial point, I think there is some aspect of development that we're kind of granting to them. Or like you said, that the guy they bring in is more or less development proof. But, you know, maybe behind closed doors, this will, you know, if it does go that poorly, maybe Rooney had a conversation and said, hey, you know, this is kind of your last shot, right? We're giving you.
He'd never say that to Mike, but that doesn't mean he's not thinking that in his head.
Right, but still, that is going to be what, like 2-3 more years, right? Or, you know, whatever the end of this extension, I think, goes into effect starting this year.
So that, he's got 25, still, 26, and 27.
Right, so, you know, we're still stuck with him developing this new quarterback that we're hoping he brings in early next year. I just think, you know, even though this is best case for them that they're accidentally falling into, this isn't by design, right?
Well, right, so right. That's
you can't put a lot of hope into that regime that you're saying doesn't know how to make a right decision, but they're going to be so bad at making decisions that they're going to fall into the right one.
Which has happened for a lot of teams, frankly, that have known nothing but losing. I mean, we just brought up the Bengals. And what, I mean, look, they had their moments, I guess, with Andy Dalton and Carson Palmer, but for the most part, they've not seen a lot of winning. I mean, the Bills went 20 years in between Jim Kelly, and then they get Josh Allen, and it completely changes the fate of that franchise. So that's what I think we all want to happen. And if Aaron Rodgers has a good year, it makes finding that guy more difficult. Not only finding him, but doing what is necessary to go get him. And I know they've got all the comp picks, so they can conceivably, it's possible, but they would have to still give up a ton, whereas if you're just naturally not good, you're in a position to take one of those guys without having to give up a lot of future picks, which would be, in my opinion, ideal and the best-case scenario altogether. 412-928-9370. That is why I have a very glass-half-full outlook on the Steelers right now in this Aaron Rodgers situation. I think it's going to be the best thing to happen to them in years, where he is bad enough, where the Steelers go something like 7-10, and it sets them up to have the quarterback come here in the 2026 draft. 412-928-9370 to get your thoughts in. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia. Donnie filled in for Starkey today on the Midday Show, so we have intern Dom in for the Donnie Football Debrief. brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience, is when we bring you the biggest football topic of the day from the eyes of our producer, Dom.
All right, Pony. So I thought we'd do something a little bit fun during the debrief today. At least I hope you will find it fun.
As opposed to what we usually do with Donnie, which is take it extremely seriously and never joke around or have fun?
No. But it's been, you know, everyone's tense now because Aaron Rodgers is coming and some people are mad and other people are thrilled. So
I'm not tense at all. I'm very relaxed.
No, you seem tense. You screamed the ear off of that caller and he was screaming right back at you. See, everybody's tense right now. So I thought maybe we'd have a little bit of fun and do a fun exercise that I was thinking about last night.
Okay.
So I was going through my mind and thinking
that's
that
a scary thought to begin with, but continue.
In my lifetime, 21 years, you know, I've had some pretty good Super Bowl matchups in my 21 years.
Yeah.
But I feel like I have been robbed, and all of us have been robbed, of even better matchups that just almost happened but didn't come to fruition.
Okay.
So I have a list here of my top 5 Super Bowl matchups that we have been robbed of since 2000.
Okay.
And I wanted to see if you had any guesses of what could be on this list.
So these are quarterback matchups or team matchups?
So I'll give you an example.
Okay.
My number 6, which just missed my top 5, was Patriots-Saints after the 2018 season. We got Patriots-Rams, but Brady Breeze in the Super Bowl, Saints were an unbelievable team.
Got screwed by the pass interference call.
Got screwed. That would have been a much better matchup.
Okay.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right.
It's going to take some thinking here. And if you don't think it's fun, then we can move on.
Do you have Chiefs-Rams as one when the Bengals beat the Chiefs? Oh, you're not a Patrick Mahomes guy, so I'm guessing you're actually not going to go in that direction.
Chiefs-Rams did not make the list. I think Bengals-Rams was...
So when is this going back to?
2000.
All the way back to 2000.
All the way back. Nothing jumps out to you at all?
How about 01... instead of Patriots-Rams, Steelers-Rams in the Super Bowl?
That was very close to making it, but it did not.
How about 04 Steelers-Eagles instead of Patriots-Eagles in the Super Bowl?
That would have been number 7.
Okay.
Didn't make the top 5. You're doing good, though. You're on the right track here.
How about... since 2000.
Let me give you number 5.
Well, hold on a second. Before you do that, let me just... still thinking here in my head. 2006?
Super Bowl matchups we got robbed of.
I'm going to say one of them is, instead of Bears-Saints, I mean, instead of Bears-Colts, Colts-Saints in 2006?
That was also close to making it, but didn't crack the top 5. You're doing great, though. I'm very proud of you.
I haven't gotten any right. You shouldn't be proud of me at all.
No, but you have good guesses.
No, you're not going to mess with the 2008 Super Bowl because it was a classic. You want Steelers-Eagles there instead of Steelers-Cardinals?
I don't, but I did consider it.
Then why'd you make that noise?
No, because you were on somewhat of a right track. Let me give you number 5.
Okay.
Number 5, Giants-Colts Super Bowl 42 after the 07 season would have been Peyton Eli in the Super Bowl.
So wait a minute. You don't want an undefeated team in the Super Bowl. Instead, you want the Colts?
Well, they were undefeated, but they lost, so they never got to 18-0. And in place, we would have gotten two brothers facing off.
Okay, but
you're the biggest game of the year.
Yes, but you're replacing it with one of the biggest games in NFL history.
Yeah, it was a great game, but
yeah,
I'm
already saying this is a crap list. If you're trying to replace Super Bowl 42, right,
it's not
off
a crap list. You're looking at it wrong.
Okay, so far, I think it's off to a horrendously bad start. What is 4?
No, you're looking at it wrong because I'm saying don't look at what it's replacing. Look at what could have been.
It's impossible for me to separate those two things.
Peyton Manning versus Eli Manning in the Super Bowl does nothing for you?
No, it would have, but the game that you're replacing to give us that game is already too good to be knocked off its perch. So what is number 4?
Number 4, Patriots Buccaneers Super Bowl 56 after the 21 season. Brady Belichick in the Super Bowl. Does that do it for you?
I mean, that would have been amazing, but the 2021 Patriots didn't really strike me as a team that had any shot.
They made the playoffs, did they not?
They did.
And they had a shot.
And then I think the Bills proceeded to never punt the ball in that game.
Doesn't matter.
And scored a touchdown on every single possession.
If you make the postseason, you're eligible for
okay,
the list.
Okay, what's three?
Number three, Cowboys-Patriots 2016 Super Bowl 51. Now, it replaced the greatest comeback ever, but
yeah, again,
Cowboys-Patriots in the Super Bowl, that would have been 200 million viewers.
Yes, who cares about the amount of people watching? I'd rather have the great, although it sucked that the Patriots were the team making the comeback. What's two?
Number two, Colts-Vikings Super Bowl 44 2009 Peyton Manning-Brett Favre would have replaced Saints-Colts.
But it's still Manning versus Breeze.
Manning versus Favre is a much better matchup.
And what's one?
Number one, Patriots-Packers Super Bowl 49 2014 Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers would have been a spectacle.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously, Patriots-Seahawks was also a great game, but that's like the first one you've said, really, where I've been like, okay, that does get my juices going there. I would have loved to have seen that game versus the one that we got instead.
Peyton Manning, Brett Favre doesn't get your juices flowing?
Well, yeah, not as much because it's replacing another Hall of Fame quarterback who got his team in a woebegone franchise to the Super Bowl for the first time.
All right. You know what? You're looking at it through a wrong lens, and you've crapped all over the debrief.
You're right,
I had
did.
A great topic, and you crapped
no,
all over
I
it.
I am crapping all over it, and it's a subjective thing. So, yeah, we don't all have to – this is not like the best debrief I've ever heard. Like, it's not making me think that Donnie got Wally pipped here and you're Lou Gehrig. You're right about that.
Yeah, it's not
– I appreciate, like, unlike my wife, who never thinks the thought counts much, I do think it is the thought that counts. You came up with an outside-the-box creative topic, so I give you credit for that. I just think your execution was unbelievably bad. That's all.
If you told me, you know what, Dom, I disagree. I think Colts-Vikings would have been a bad matchup. I would have said, okay, great, we can have a conversation. The fact that you're looking at it the completely wrong way is
no,
where
I'm
you're
not.
Wrong. Yes, you are. The point is the matchup that we didn't get. How good is the matchup? Doesn't matter the matchup we did get.
The matchup we got was an A, and the matchup you gave me instead is also an A. So I don't look back on that thinking, man, what could have been if we saw Colts and Vikings in the Super Bowl? I do not do that.
You don't think the Manning brothers in the Super Bowl would have been unbelievable?
It would have been great, but it also an undefeated team getting all the way to the Super Bowl and losing to the Giants was probably even better than that.
But who cares? That's not the conversation.
Dom, I can only react to these things the way that I am wired to react to them. I'm sorry. Maybe next time, give this list to Starkey or Pompeiani, and they'll react entirely differently. Now, if you had said a good one would be, how about, you only went back to 2000, but like 94, instead of the Chargers, it's the Steelers and 49ers in the Super Bowl. Okay, then I'm like, that to me would have been a more interesting Super Bowl than a Stan Humphries-led team taking on one of the greatest teams of all time. Yes.
So pander to Steelers fans is what
that's
you're saying to do.
That's not pander. Well, yeah, that doesn't hurt. But that's also not pandering because most people objectively would have told you. Or how about this one? Again, didn't really fit into your rules. Instead of Patriots and Bears in 85... how about Dolphins Bears in 85? Because Marino had already beaten them. And obviously seeing Dan Marino in a Super Bowl is much better than seeing Tony Eason and Grogan play quarterback.
So see, now you're getting it. Now you're having fun. But you didn't during the segment. No, you didn't.
Yes, you're right. I did not have as much fun because you tried to like put parameters on this and box me in.
No one was... you know what? You have hit rock bottom alongside Pomp.
Wow.
This past segment, you've hit rock bottom. Hate to say it.
Did you feel like Callis hit rock bottom playing for the Wild Things on Saturday?
No, I think it raised his aura, to be honest.
So do I. I agree. He got an offer. He did not record a hit, but did make contact on a 92-mile-per-hour fastball and hit it to third, and it looked like pretty much a guaranteed out, and he sprinted to first base as fast as he could. And he scored points with me by doing that.
Did he really?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. I was proud of Harry. He looked like he was having fun, and the hustle down the first base line was I mean, it was incredible.
And he said today that he doesn't think he'll ever get that opportunity to play in a professional baseball game again, which is right. So even though it was a routine ground ball, why not run it out like it's the biggest play of your life? In this case, it probably was.
Now, look into the crystal ball over there
yep.
and give me a prediction. Do you think Callis will ever throw out a first pitch at PNC Park?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
I think in conjunction with us as a station, he will.
Wow.
I don't know if the Wild Things would have allowed this because it would have like junked up the game maybe too much. But I think it would have been awesome had they reached out to me. And Callis thinks he's about to face like, you know, this hard throwing guy. And then I come out of the bullpen. And he's got to go mano a mano with me in that spot.
Do you think you strike him out? What do you think happens?
Well, I mean, now that I saw him turn around 92, I'm not as convinced that I would strike him out.
I got to be honest.
But I've got seven fielders behind me, so I'd like to think I hit my spots. I hit my corners. I locate my pitches. I think I would get him out. I mean, he's not beaten out a ground ball. Let's just be honest. There's no infield hits with him. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
I also think if he hits a ball to right field and it drops in for what he thinks is a single, I also think there's a chance the right fielder throws him out at first base.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree.
So he's got to, in my opinion, hit a ball that makes it out of the infield to center field or left field in order to get a hit. And everything else is an out.
Now,
so I do think I get him out in that situation.
Now, give Callis credit. I think he batted 400 in high school, just for the record.
I think I heard that he was like almost among like whatever he played at Keystone Oaks, right?
Yes.
So what are they like? Are they AAA? What am I talking about?
AAA.
I don't know why I said that. What school size are they?
3A?
Okay, so 3A. So I was right. I just said it wrong. They're 3A?
I'd have to double check.
I heard that he led all of 3A in hitting his senior year.
Whoa.
Which is pretty impressive. Yeah. All right. More on the Aaron Rodgers signing. I'm going to play for you when we come back what Mike Tomlin said about Aaron Rodgers, the football player this year, because I think these two cannot be separated. They're intertwined here. Mike Tomlin is, I think, putting his legacy on the line to some extent by bringing Aaron Rodgers here. And what this means for Tomlin and just the reaction among many to this signing and Mike Tomlin's role in the whole situation with him now that he's elected to turn the franchise over to a 41-year-old quarterback. 412-928-9370. Quick timeout, then a long commercial-free segment. You're listening to the PM team.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.